Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Injuries. That's the nothing personal word of the day with a call back to the Brady Bunch. This is the time of year in baseball where as a fan or as an executive, all you do, it's not even fun anymore. The spring training games are not fun. The players are getting more at-bats. The pitchers now go four innings or three innings instead of two. You begin to get people with numbers below 69 getting a few extra at-bats. The traveling party is a little smaller. The cuts have started. But all you do is wait for a tweet or wait for the next day's paper back in the day. Wait for a tweet, wait for a phone call about the most recent injury, because that's all baseball has become. It's just every day a new player has a new problem that causes that player to get paid guaranteed money not to play. And yesterday, we had a big one, I'd say. Although, is it a really big injury if it's a Red Sox player when the Red Sox are going to finish in last place? It's only a big injury because I want to talk about it. When you negotiate with players during the offseason, let's say a Lucas Giolito, and you're all excited to add him to your rotation, you think he's going to be at the top of your rotation, and you get him for a very short-term deal because he stinks. And the short-term deal is 1 year plus a player option, which when you do your budgets and you submit your payroll to baseball and the union, player options are considered firm because it's up to the player. It's not up to the team. And player options are always exercised when a player is bad or hurt. Otherwise, player options are declined and there's a renegotiation with the same team or they become free agents. So Lucas Giolito signs a one-year deal plus a player option. He gets guaranteed $38.5 million. So for those of you scoring at home, $19 million and some change over the course of 2 years. And it's through a year now and then a player option. If there's no player option, there's could be a buyout. And if the player option is exercised, then there's a club option for a third year that's based on innings pitched. Yada, yada, yada. Tommy John, he's done for the year. Now, they haven't announced it yet, but he's done for the year. The problem with him being done for the year is that his player option for next year, the Red Sox are in a position where they're going over next year's payroll, which they do now, and they know he's going to pick up that player option. So if I am the Boston Red Sox and the newly minted CEO of Fenway Sports Group, Sam Kennedy, or the much maligned principal owner, John Henry, or the, hey, we're going balls out this year, full throttle, chairman Tom Werner, or the new former pitcher of ours, Yale graduate, chief baseball officer, Craig Breslow. I got them all in there, Coke. I told you I could do it. They're sitting down and they're saying, all right, here's our plan. We're going to meet with Lucas and his representatives. And we're going to acknowledge what we know to be real. We're going to acknowledge he's going to pick up the player option. But he's going to be coming off an entire missed year. It would be really nice not to have to allocate that huge amount of money to him. What is the creative way that we can avoid him picking up the player option as it exists now? And here's how. The Red Sox are going to meet with Giolito's representatives. And this happens soon. You start these conversations. And they are going to offer to make the player option a firm contract, but then extend it by a year. Why? Because if you offer Giolito right now a two-year contract, starting next year, which means you're guaranteeing the third year, which is a club option, once he picks up the player option, which he's going to do. If you guarantee that you'll pick up that club option for the third year, you're giving Giolito more guaranteed money, but you're spreading it out over 2 years. And that would be the goal of the Red Sox, because they're taking such a payroll hit this year. They're going to take a payroll hit next year because he's going to opt into his deal at a bigger number for a player that you don't know whether he'll perform. So it would be a great goal to get that number lower. And the only way to get a salary lower is to give a player more guaranteed dollars and more years. So all of these injuries, when you get notified of them, you have to start thinking about, all right, what are we going to do? How are we going to deal with this? And it's happening with all of these players who are injured. I already said Sam Kennedy, Coca. I love Sam Coca. I love Matthew Coca in my ear. I said Sam Kennedy was promoted to CEO of Fenway Sports Group. Totally promoted. I think I mentioned that as I was going through. Remember I said I got all four of them in? I got Werner and Henry and Breslow and Kennedy. Congratulations, Sam. It's going to add to the narrative, unfortunately. Here's the thing. When you are promoted to CEO of Fenway Sports Group, but you're keeping your job as CEO of the Red Sox in title, it adds to the narrative that John Henry et al. Have put the Red Sox on the back burner. And now that, which I don't believe, and now that Giolito is hurt, people say, oh, go get Montgomery. Go get Snell. Call Boris. Say you're in a pitching panic. It's not happening. There is zero chance that the Red Sox will sign Montgomery or Snell. Zero. No chance, toilet pants. DavidSamsonPodcast.com in a non-Gildan t-shirt. The reason that a team would not call an agent and say, hey, what do you think? You ready to sign with us? You think the agent isn't aware of the injury? You don't do anything when you're desperate. And you don't put, this is a good lesson for you in your life, in your business, in a casino, anywhere you are. Don't throw good money after bad. It never works. It's like having more children to save your marriage. Hey, our marriage sucks. I have an idea. Let's have a child. That'll fix it. That'll distract us. It never works. Underscore, never. So if a team is decent and the best pitcher on that decent team, and when I say decent, I mean, hey, if it all goes well, this is what the Red Sox are saying right now. If it all goes well, we could be in the race at the deadline. We'll make an addition at the margins, and we'll try to ride a hot September and get into October. Everything's got to hit perfectly, and the teams we're chasing, Baltimore has to crater, Toronto has to be Toronto, and the Yankees have to be the Yankees. And the Rays just, I can't even name two Rays players. So maybe the Red Sox are saying that. But realistically, they know that this is not a year that they're going to win. Therefore, Giolito being hurt or a player being hurt does not lead you to spend extra money to go above budget. The way you go above budget, if you do at all, would be when you add. It's when your team is outperforming its expectations and you want to reward them by making them better. You don't chase Amy with the spring training injury. All of these teams get so excited with their new players. Sonny Gray, St. Louis Cardinals fans, my biggest disappointment from last year. Will I have them winning the Central, or will I go with the Cody Bellinger Cubs, or maybe my favorite Milwaukee Brewers? I got burned by the Cardinals last year, but they have Sonny Gray ready to go. Free agent, huge signing. I can't make it in New York, but I can make it in the land of 20,000 lakes. And how about if I come and get some beer? They did a press conference yesterday in St. Louis where their president of baseball operations said, hey, it's okay. It's only a mild hamstring strain. There are different levels of hamstring strains. They're all tears. We don't really tell you that a lot because we don't want you to know. But even the smallest hamstring strain is equal to a tiny hamstring tear. That's what a strain is. You got the fibers, the hamstring, the tear. Hamstrings are very bad. You've heard me say that on Nothing Personal. Very, very bad. Not as bad as shoulder fatigue or flexor tenderness or forearm tenderness or tendonitis. That's all code words for Tommy John. Or if you're Shohei Ohtani, it's code word for arm surgery on your elbow to replace a torn ligament. But hamstrings are bad, especially for pitchers, although they're not great for runners either. But pitchers, because it's your plant leg, and you do not want to alter your mechanics. So Sonny Gray signs his long-term deal, and they have to announce that he's going to open the season on the injured list. And he was all excited. He was going to start against the Dodgers in what would be the Dodgers' third game of the year. And it's just such a letdown. And I'm pretty happy doing Nothing Personal. Strike that. I'm over the moon doing Nothing Personal. I love this career that Coke and I have in media and everything we do. But there are times, of course, that I miss being the president of a team, wondering, would I go back? Should I go back? Could I go back? If I did go back, how would I do it differently? And then things like yesterday happen, where I'm going through the injuries and I'm seeing Sonny Gray. I'm seeing Joey Espada say, hey, sorry. Justin Verlander, not ready for opening day. Ugh, going on the injured list. And then he's got to give a quote, Joey Espada, one of my favorite coaches, who's now the manager of the Astros. Don't forget, he replaced Dusty Baker. First year is managing, which it's finally his turn. He has to give you an absolutely ridiculous quote. He's doing very well. We're just running out of days here, Joey said. Can't build him up enough. It's a timing issue. We want to do what's best for Verlander and our club. So they're going to put him on the injured list. That's really not true. As you know, what you can do when you are running a roster is you can look at your early season schedule and you can take your fifth starter. And remember, let me go back. You're going to read a lot about who's your first starter. They're competing to be a third starter. There's a big race to be the third starter. Do you know that inside a front office, we don't talk about that? It doesn't come up. We line up our pitching for who we want opening day. And after that, one through the rotation, that's when you have one, two, three, four. It means you're starting game two, game three, game four. If there's an off day, which there is, you can go back to your number one starter for game five, or you can pitch your fifth starter, or you can go without a fifth starter for up to 2 weeks in April, given off days. But the reason why it doesn't come up is that the rotation always gets mucked after that anyway. Someone needs an extra day here. Someone misses a start there. Someone gets hurt here. But the media gets obsessed. We're down to the wire in the third starter race. Picture inside an executive's office. We're sitting there having a big meeting. Let's meet at 3 o'clock on Wednesday. We're going to go over who our third starter is. Never happened. I've never been to a meeting like that. But in theory, with Verlander, if you start four other people, the Astros could have put Verlander on the injured list and just said he's going to start the season late. Makes perfect sense. And that's sort of what Joey was saying. But running out of days, I don't like that. I would have just said it much more simply if I'm Joey Espada. Hey, we're not going to have Verlander start until the middle of April. We don't need him to start until then. We're focused on a deep run into October. This is great. And for roster reasons, we're going to have an extra bullpen arm. We're going to start him on the injured list. That's it. That's all I would say. By the way, we had to wait to see. Remember I revisit wait to sees? On February 15th, almost a month ago, 2024, I told you Verlander would start the season on the IL when he was a little delayed in his preparation. So we're taking that as a yes. There's all these other injuries happening. Oh, all right. Wait to see this year. Thank you, Coca. It was in bold on my rundown. Lucas Giolito will miss the whole season. Wait to see. Part two. A separate wait to see, so I can get that one right. A second wait to see about Giolito is that he will not pitch pick up his player option because the Red Sox will give him an extension and guarantee that third year. So I believe the Red Sox will guarantee his third year, and it will become a two-year deal after this year with actually fewer dollars going to him in year two if he had just picked up the player option. That's a wait to see. All right, I've been waiting till 8:15. 15 minutes into the episode, you didn't think I could wait this long. I had a bet with myself that I could wait 15 minutes before talking about the Oakland A's renderings. And one of you gave me the perfect entree into this segment. Coca?
You know what I want? I want to talk to Samson.
So you want to talk to Samson. Imagine when we go on a live tour of Nothing Personal, Coca, and we're out in different cities and we're doing shows, and the So You Want to Talk to Samson is actually questions from the audience. That's what we do here. Get on Twitter at David P. Samson. Hit follow and ask a question in my DMs. They're open. Or go on davidsamsonpodcast.com. Or if Instagram's working, you can find me there, but hard for me to get to the DMs on Instagram. I mean, sometimes. Okay, David. What a weird start to a question that you had. Okay, David. Okay. I don't know why you ever start a conversation with that. The Las Vegas A's release new renderings. They're not the Las Vegas A's. They're the Oakland A's. But so far, let's see what you have. Looks like the coolest ballpark ever. Am I right? Every time someone says that to me, am I right or am I right? Or am I right? Am I right? So, sir or ma'am or them, it's not the Las Vegas A's, it's the Oakland A's. And it does look like the coolest ballpark ever because it looks like another AI rendering. Let's bring it up on screen for the Nothing Personal with David Samson YouTube watchers. And if you can, hit subscribe and enjoy. Look at that. It's the Sydney Opera House. I want to talk to you about renderings. Can you get to the next picture, Coca? There's a great one coming up. Look at that. One of the great outfield wall screens in a fixed roof in Vegas. Not retractable, fixed, because John Fisher correctly said you'd never open the roof. You would open the roof in Vegas. There's beautiful weather in April. Beautiful weather. So don't give me that cockamamie crap. Of course you'd open the roof. There's the Sydney Opera House right there, picture three. I mean, literally, it looks exactly like it. All right, let me talk about this. I need to talk about renderings. Because they waited. They mucked it up, Coca. Did you know that they sent the renderings to the media and said, please embargo it until today? Today, March 6th, they were going to release the renderings with the whole big unveil. But then one of the companies who had done the renderings released it on social media and it went viral because it's so funny. And then Oakland was caught on their heels and had to have statements and announcements and all the other stuff they did. John Fisher had to talk about it. John, help me help you, please. When you release renderings, you have to explain and let the fans understand what they're looking at. You have to guide them. Are you telling me that someone looked at those renderings and didn't see the Sydney Opera House, so you weren't ready to answer that? Are you telling me that you didn't have a better answer for not having a retractable roof other than saying in Vegas, the roof wouldn't be open anyway? Are you telling me that the trees are going to be that tall? And that's my favorite one. We make trees very tall in renderings to make the ballpark not look as big. And the trees, of course, are not that high in real life. Go look at the renderings. Then are you telling me that you're going to have an 18,000 sphere-like, 18,000 square foot sphere-like scoreboard? Are you telling me you're not going to have a batter's eye? Did you notice that in the renderings? There's no batter's eye. Are you telling me that that's going to be the view of the strip? That's not what the strip looks like. What about an explanation of ingress and egress and showing what's going to have to be all of the great infrastructure that Vegas is giving you of pedestrian? There's all these ways that people will get to places in Vegas. Have you ever been to Vegas? They have bridges everywhere. There's a clear view of everything in these renderings. Why? Give me the reason. And show me the measurement. Show me the acreage. Oh, there's 3 acres that Bally's has given us of great outstanding park space on your 9 acres. And by the way, part of the entire development is that the Tropicana is going to be replaced. Where's that in the renderings? Not ready to release that. What's the reason you do renderings? Raise your hand if you know. To my studio audience here, live audience, I've got a live audience today. A lot of people, how you doing? How you doing? It's a hanger. It's a bag. I'm getting ready to go to Florida for Live from the Stained Carpet. Sunday, 4 p.m., tune into Metalark's YouTube channel, Levitard's YouTube channel. Me and Adnan Virk and Ben Lyons are going to be live from 4 p.m., giving you red carpet previews, giving you our Oscar predictions, and then we'll be there all through the show talking about the Oscars. Can't wait. We're going to do Nothing Personal on Friday from Miami, on Monday from Miami as well, because we don't miss a day. Why was I just talking about that? Oh, because I've got some stuff ready to be packed here in the background. What were we just talking about? Oh, I was asking my studio audience a question, but I don't remember what the question was. This is so great doing Nothing Personal live with you with no script. I don't have the first idea. Oh, we were talking about people and releasing renderings. Thank you, Coca. You're trying to get money. You're trying to get public money. You're trying to get private money. You're trying to build excitement for something that doesn't yet exist. But I thought the state money was done in Nevada. Not quite. I thought that everyone was all excited for the A's to go to Las Vegas. Not exactly for sure. I thought they were already ready with announcing Sacramento for the next 3 years with the new TV deal negotiated with their network in Oakland. No, not quite ready. What would be the renderings? Oh, to generate positive news about a project which has been nothing but negative. They tried renderings a few months ago and they acknowledged they were based on nothing. The thing is with these renderings, they're not based on much more than that. I want to see pricing. I want to see agreements. Don't tell me this is done in conjunction with our construction design firm. This is so exciting, done from these great architects who just looked at a picture of either Disneyland or Sydney and said, this looks like a fixed roof we can do. By the way, it's $1.5 billion. Do you know the size of Marlins Park budget to build a $502 million ballpark with the retractable roof back when we started building in 2009? Do you want to know how big the budget was and how detailed? Let me see if I have it here. Interesting. Florida Marlins stadium agreements. The agreements are this thick, and that's not even the renderings. That's not the construction documents, the design documents, which are this thick. You have to consult with your roof specialist, with the subcontractors who are doing the roof. You have to look at cost of materials. You have to look at whether or not that type of screen, it's like they're making a sphere inside the ballpark. Where is the union? Did they approve this with no batter's eye and the unbelievable distraction that would be a scoreboard like that for pitchers, hitters, and fielders? Now, I will give you one positive for these renderings. It's pretty Vegas-y. I like it in terms of the insanity and the beauty that is the Strip of Las Vegas. But it's just not real. This is a major league ballpark where there are a lot of different constituencies. You don't just get to build whatever you want. We had the union tour our ballpark, look at our renderings, look at our documents, the commissioner's office, the public entity who is helping fund it. It's not just drawing up pictures on a computer and saying, look, these are the great renderings. So all the reasons for releasing them yesterday, none of them really apply to the Oakland relocation. There was no big thing except they felt this great public pressure because all people were saying, where are the renderings? You're not serious till you have renderings. But the risk is when you release renderings like that, like what they did, people again are saying, holy crikeys, this is like Fantasy Island. Speaking of which, the plane. Don't forget about the Las Vegas International Airport. That'll be fun for pilots to land over that screen. We'll get more information on these renderings, I'm sure. But God, were they a bunch of poppycock. I'd be willing, what are the odds in Vegas currently that the final stadium, should it ever be built in Las Vegas, will look like these renderings from March 5th, 2024? Can someone put a pin in that? Let's look for March of 28 when it opens with some exhibition games and see if it looks anything like it did 4 years earlier. I could do a wait to see, but Coca doesn't have a 4-year contract, so I can't do it. Okay. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to review another movie that was nominated for some Golden Globe, could have been nominated for some Oscars. Maybe it should have been. And then we're going to have a slightly complicated discussion, but important one, about what happened at Dartmouth. And normally, you wouldn't care what happens in an Ivy League school. Normally, I would be focused way more on Yale. But there was a vote by the Dartmouth basketball players to join a union yesterday. And I want to explain in as easy, simple terms as I can what actually happened, because there's just a bit of misinformation out there. But in the meantime, let's pay some bills. We'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't actually have the first idea what bills were paid with that little wipe to our logo. For those of you watching live in the Nothing Personal with David Sampson YouTube channel, let's review. I watch a movie every day. This is a busy week. I watched two movies yesterday and finished a third that I had started the day before. This is a week of very little sleep. The Oscars are on Sunday. This is my ballot. Still blank. I'm going to unveil the full ballot. I'm struggling this year more than I ever have. Best actress is an absolute toss-up. Best actor is a toss-up. We just don't see that that often. I have some concerns in the costume design category, some concerns in the original screenplay, zero concerns in original song, zero concerns in Best Picture, spoiler alert, which is too bad. Remember the year in the Oscars when they saved Best Actor for last because they thought Chadwick Boseman was going to get it? And they did Best Picture and then Best Actor, and they opened the Best Actor envelope and everyone was excited. It was gonna, and he had just passed away, so they weren't excited about that. But it was going to be this emotional speech from his widow, and it ended up being Anthony Hopkins for the father. That was funny. I mean, not funny. He deserved it. All right, let's go to a movie I watched. What's today? Thursday. I watched this on Wednesday early morning, like at 5 a.m. All of Us Strangers is a movie that stars Andrew Scott and Paul Mescal and Jamie Bell and Claire Foy. This is a movie where Andrew Scott, if you've seen him in Fleabag, then you're smart, because Fleabag is one of the great TV series of all time. This is a movie about, it's almost a supernatural movie. It is very deliberate, very slow paced, but very deep. It's about a man, a writer, who is gay and trying to, and that's like the Levitard bit when I was doing that a few weeks ago. This is important for the film. And he's trying to come to grips with having to tell his parents that, but his parents are dead and not sure how his parents will respond. Then he's lonely, but happens to meet somebody in his apartment building, which may or may not be an apartment building, and there may or may not be any other tenants. the tone of this movie, the deliberate nature of this movie is such that if you're not in the mood for it, you're not going to like it. But if you're okay with no car chase scenes, with no guns, if you're okay with what it is to let go and fall in love, if you're okay with what it is to think about people who are dead and wonder, can you talk to them again? Can you be with them again? If you could see your dead father again, what would you say? I think about that every day. One more call. If I could have one more call with my father, one more. And those were the rules to start with. What do I lead with? Like an update of his grandchildren? An update, where have you been? Like, what's it like? Answer all my mysteries? Or just, you know, a hug? No words at all. This movie got me thinking about that. And if you want to think about it, watch the movie. It's really good. Andrew Scott could have been nominated, but what a year for actors. He did not get nominated, so it's not an Oscar movie, but it really is worth your time. All right, Coca, it's time. We're talking about Dartmouth and players joining a union. I want to give you a few facts about what happened in Dartmouth. Number one, the basketball team voted 13-2 in favor of joining an existing union. They are not forming their own union. There is already a union at Dartmouth that has a ton of members. It's called the Service Employees International Union Local 560 Chapter. It's a long name. Just suffice it to say, there's a ton of people a part of this union. What the Dartmouth players voted to do was join that union. When you are a member of a union, you get to bargain over vacation, over workers' comp, over time off, over pay, over workplace conditions. The point of a union is you get to bargain with management. The other point of being in a union is you are an employee. And this is a subtle point that needs to be brought up. It was already ruled that the athletes at this private school of Dartmouth are considered employees and they have the right to vote whether or not they want to join an existing union. All that happened yesterday was the vote. The biggest thing that happened prior was that they were ruled employees. Of course, Dartmouth, the university, is appealing because they don't want more employees. They don't want more people being part of a union. When you are ruled to be an employee, you then can have an election as to whether to join a union. The National Labor Relations Board allowed for this election to take place. Now what? Now starts a process that will last months, may even go until the next president or the same president is in office. By the way, that could totally change who's on the National Labor Relations Board, which is a group of people who are aligned with the party in power. So it's possible that all this is for naught, because if there's a Republican-led country, it's possible the NLRB will be full of people who really are not all that inclined to give more people more rights. I'm not saying I agree or disagree in this particular instance, although I guess I will give you a tiny view of where I stand on something. I do not believe that unions were invented so that the Dartmouth men's basketball team would have a union. I've said that about Major League Baseball players too. I've not said that about migrant workers or about those who are underserved, underpaid, and totally taken advantage of. Of course, people who are completely only pro-union say, those athletes at Dartmouth, God, are they taken advantage of? So what's going to happen now? What's going to happen now is that Dartmouth will appeal. And what the appeal is, it's really a two-prong appeal. One, was it proper for the regional NLRB board, not the national one, the regional one, to categorize those athletes as employees? And then two, is it reasonable or should it be law? Should it be the case? Should it be the ruling of the NLRB that this union will exist with these players in it, therefore making all athletes potential employees and able to join this union, not just at Dartmouth, but at all private schools? Note, this is for private schools only, not public colleges. This does not impact USC. There's a separate lawsuit going on to make athletes at public schools like Wisconsin or Indiana part of a union. This ruling by the NLRB, regional only so far, is for private schools. Every school in the Ivy League is a private school. If this appeal does not work, and these Dartmouth players who have the right to elect to join a union, that right will extend to the other schools in the Ivy Leagues. And guess what? If all college players become employees, that could be it. What would I do if I were the incoming new president of Yale and I had a bunch of tennis players and baseball players and water polo players who wanted to join the service union up in New Haven? I would say good luck. As liberal a school as that is, I would say good luck. We're going to pass on those sports. We're going to take away all athletics, actually. Would they ever do that? Would they lose so many boosters? Would they lose so much of their endowment for people who love giving money, who love going to the Harvard-Yale game? Would the juice be worth the squeeze to have all these employees join? What would it mean for the bottom line? How many academic benefits would go away because athlete employees would be getting more rights, more money, et cetera? Dollars are fungible. You give a dollar to someone, you take it away from someone else. Maybe Yale and other schools, Dartmouth, they'll go out and they'll try to find more donors. Hey, will you pay the, will you endow these new employees, the center for the basketball team? You can tell I'm a little bitter about this because I don't believe, I don't really care so much if the NCAA goes away. As long as there's a different governing body, you need someone to govern. I guess what I do care about, though, is I don't believe that student athletes are employees. They are students. I am all in on students having the right to earn money. As a non-athlete at Wisconsin, I did stuff to earn money. I had a job on the side. I had a hustle on the side. I had a poker game on the side. I had a spades game on the side. I had a blackjack game on the side. I was doing a lot of stuff. I needed extra money to travel back and forth to New York, see my girlfriend in Milwaukee, all sorts of stuff. It's good to have extra money for spring break. Go on a carnival cruise. Had to have money for that. So I'm all in for these students getting NIL. Absolutely. If I could sell my name, image, and likeness when I was in college, I would have done it. No problem. But to be categorized as an employee and get all the rights that are accustomed to employees, no. No, 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 no. Even the player on Dartmouth who came out and gave the quote was like, it's time for the age of amateurism to end. That's such a tired statement. We're not amateurs anymore. We're professionals. Great. Get paid with your name, image, and likeness. There's plenty of people who do professional work who get paid no money and are not part of a union. If players unionize, they could bargain for everything from wages to limits on hours and overtime pay, as well as become eligible for workers' comp. That's really nice. This guy for Dartmouth said, I want extra health insurance benefits to cover costs related to injuries. Like, I want the cost of going to the gym when I'm rehabbing my knee because I'm a Dartmouth basketball player. Yippee-ki-yay, mofo. Nope. I am out. OU overtime pay. You know what'll happen with these if they don't go as far as I went? And I did go far, I admit it, with saying get rid of all athletics in the Ivy Leagues. But if there's overtime pay, do you work in a place where you're hourly? Do you know that your boss pays strict attention to what your hours are to make sure they don't have to pay you overtime pay? Oh, I got extra work to do. No problem. Leave. You are not approved for overtime. We did that with hourly employees at the Marlins. Some were approved for overtime, some were not. When you're not approved for overtime, bye-bye. What do they think, that they're going to get paid for the bus ride down to New Haven from Hanover? All right. Nothing. Personal pick of the day. How did I do, Coca? We had the Raptors +8 over the Pelicans. I went to bed. I assume that's a winner. I think the Raptors only lost by 69 points, and we were getting 70. So we are now 29-31 as the Raptors +8 over the Pelicans, which is a major, major loser. That was terrible. Big game tonight with the Lakers, but I'm taking the Sacramento Kings. I don't know why they're getting 3.5. I think it's because the Lakers have been hot. They're winning a bunch in a row, and LeBron got 40,000. They keep winning, and they're doing well. Sacramento is deeper, way deeper. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure that AD or LeBron, they may be two of the top four players between those two teams, but that's it. Not the best. We're taking the points. All right. I'm going to talk about Arch Manning before we go here, Coca. I'm too excited. Arch Manning, that's tough, naming a kid Arch Manning in a quarterback family where every Manning is a Hall of Famer. Eli, Peyton, Archie the dad. Now you've got Archie the grandson, who is not the son of Peyton or Eli. He's the son of a third brother. And this guy is supposed to be, is he going to be the best, Coke? I think he's going to be the best quarterback ever. He's already better than Tom Brady, way better than Patrick Mahomes. I think he signed a 14-year, $690 million deal to be a pro. I think all that happened already. But in the meantime, he's still in college. And he made news yesterday, and it made me laugh. If you've heard of EA Sports, they have this Sports College Football 25. It's a game that you can play with Nintendo or Atari or Playbill or whatever they're called. I wasn't allowed any of those, so I don't know what any of them are called. I don't play video games. But what EA Sports is doing is they're going out and trying to get permission from all players to use their name, image, and likeness. And they offered $600 to every player and said, hey, we'll give you $600. This is every player, over 10,000 players. We'll give you $600. You give us your NIL for purpose of this game. You'll be in the game. And then on top of that, we'll send you a game, an EA College Sports College Football 25. Are you in or are you out? Check the box, opt in. We'll send you the check. All's great and love and war. Everybody looked at that and said, hey, $600, like that $600 more than I had. I'll take the free game. I'm all in. The Archie Manning, although I think they just call him Arch, he decided to not accept the deal. I want to be very clear. I have no problem with a player. If he's rich, he's got rich parents, he thinks he's better than the offensive tackle for Dartmouth, whatever the case may be, I have no problem with you opting out of this offer. I have no problem with people not taking offers that are presented to them. It's like not joining a class action suit. No problem. But how about the quote, according to someone on Twitter, Anwar Richardson? How about this quote? This could be an all-timer. Only on March 6th, and I think this has to be in consideration for quarter of the year. The reason why Manning doesn't want to take this is that, quote, he's focused on playing football on the field. What? I must have that wrong. Arch Manning doesn't want $600 and a free EA Sports College Football 25 game because he's focused on playing football on the field. What does that even mean? Does that mean that it takes too much time to deposit the check for $600 that you can do directly from your phone? Or does it mean that he'd play EA Sports College Football 25 so much that he wouldn't learn his playbook? Or does it mean that he wouldn't go to the gym to practice? Practice? He wouldn't lift weights. He wouldn't do his drills because he's too busy being a couch potato playing video games. Would you give me a break? That is total horse hockey. Here's why Arch Manning opted out, because he wanted more money. That's it. Why not just say it? I don't believe that I should be compensated the way every ordinary schnook is compensated. I'm negotiating a separate deal, to which EA Sports said, pound sand. Smell you later. Not doing it. When EA Sports got together, of course they were smart to say that. We're not going to differentiate between the best players and the worst players. We're making one offer. If you don't want to give us your face and name, guess what? The total number of people who will not buy EA Sports College Football 25 because Arch Manning's face is not there, wait for it, zero. That's how many people will not buy the game because Arch Manning wants more money or because he's focused on playing football on the field. EA Sports, it was the easiest decision of all time. Why? Arch, good luck with your focus. Make sure you get the 1.75ers. It's just business, EA Sports said to the Manning family. We'll be back tomorrow. This is Nothing Personal.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.